everybody. I'm Nicole.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Sarah. And together, we're the co-founders of Whale Tales, a living library of cetacean stories.
Today, we are so excited to chat with marine biologists and reef guides from the Whit Sundays.
Plus a whale tale from Down Under.
So sit back and enjoy as we dive right in.
Hello, hello! We have an awesome episode coming into your ears today because we had the opportunity to chat with Olivia Broadhurst, chair of the Whit Sunday Local Marine Advisory Committee, and Crystal Lacey, who is a reef guide in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. Ever heard of it? It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, I was really sorry to miss this conversation. It sounds amazing from what I've heard so far in my edits, and I'm excited to hear all about what you guys learned about.
Yeah, we talked with them mostly about humpbacks in Australia and the work that is happening throughout the Great Barrier Reef Marine Conservation Area with folks like Olivia and Crystal and the other people that they work with doing some really cool conservation. Plus, we learned about the really awesome Eye on the Reef app, which sounds very fascinating, and I'm excited to check it out.
And it's very easy to use.
Oh, amazing.
I've been playing with it, because who doesn't enjoy just imagining that they're on the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah.
In fact, they're in rainy Vancouver.
Oh, yay!
So yeah, we'll turn it, I guess, over to past Sarah and Nicole, where we talked to Crystal and Olivia.
Hello, everybody, and we are so excited to have guests from Whit Sunday here today. We cannot wait to jump into this conversation. So, Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about who is with us?
Today, we have Olivia, who's the director of Whit Sunday Environmental, and then we also have Crystal Lacey, who is going to also introduce themselves, and we're so excited to have them here with us, all the way from Australia. It's, I don't know, I feel like we've been doing some really great all around the world interviews lately on the podcast, and we're excited to continue that. So, Olivia, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and about Whit Sunday Environmental?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us, firstly. We're really excited to be joining you today and filling you in on what we've been up to. So, yes, I am the director of Whit Sunday Environmental. We're a local environmental consultancy. And I'm also the chair of the Whales of the Whit Sundays program, which we run in collaboration with a group of very motivated community members. I'm also the chair of our local marine advisory committee, and I am a marine biologist by trade, but I mostly work at the moment on whales and climate change.
Awesome. And Crystal, do you want to tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be involved with this as well?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Crystal, otherwise known as Little Fish or Fish. And I'm the director of Little Fish Tourism Development Consulting. So our business is all about enhancing, developing and telling the stories of the beautiful Great Barrier Reef through immersive educational experiences with all the guests that come from all over the world to visit our World Heritage listed beautiful Great Barrier Reefs. We're located here in the central sector of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park, which is this stunning Whit Sundays. And yeah, my business really concentrates on the tourism industry in that location, but we expand across the reef. And I'm also a Master Reef Guide for the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority. So through that Master Reef Guide program, there's 123 of us, the reef guides, located throughout high standard tourism operators along the length and breadth of the marine park. And we do exactly that. We're out on the water every day, whether we're frontline staff or management staff or owner operators, we're all trying to band together to tell the stories of the reef and lead the way in that educational tourism and making sure that the educational information that the guests hear is correct, factual, up to date and interactive as possible and fun. It's all about fun, making sure we make those once in a lifetime memories forever.
So when we finally get ourselves back over to Australia, we're hitting you up for a tour.
Absolutely. Come out to the reef on any one of our high standard tourism operators that have master reef guides. It's really easy to look up, and we'd love to take on an amazing adventure.
Well, obviously, we could talk about all of the marine biology and all of the incredible creatures and important conservation going on the reef till, you know, the fish come home. But we are a cetacean podcast. So, Olivia and Crystal, could you tell us a little bit about how your work intersects with specifically cetaceans?
Absolutely. So Crystal and I, like I mentioned, we're on the Whitsunday Local Marine Advisory Committee. And at the committee meeting over a year ago, we were talking about whales. And we're very lucky here in the Whitsundays that we are a calving area for humpback whales. And there is obviously a lot of interest for us to understand more about our whales and protect our whales. So we formed a community group, which is called Whales of the Whitsundays. Sundays, or WOW, as we like to call it. And we have formed a formal steering committee, and the project is looking at ways that we can help to understand our whales better in with view to help conserve them and protect them into the future. We are a very busy tourism area, like Crystal mentioned. Lots of people, about 40% of people accessing the Great Barrier Reef do it from the Whitsundays. So we do have to have that very high quality management of the area, and that includes managing how people are acting around our cetaceans and how they are operating their vessels and viewing cetaceans as well. Yeah, so we decided to follow the World Cetacean Alliance's program, which is a whale heritage site program. It's a really, really exciting program because it not only focuses on improving science and research, but it also focuses on building that stewardship, which is very important because we all love whales. You know, whales are such an amazing, majestic creature, but by educating people and getting people to feel that connection to whales, we can then help them to see why their actions on a daily basis could make an impact on those creatures. So we're really using the whales as a bit of a way to build stewardship in our community, build understanding of them, how to protect them, but also what else people can do above and beyond operating better at while they're on the water. So looking at ways where they can reduce their impact more generally. Don't know if you want to add anything, Crystal, to that.
No, that was beautiful, Liv. I think a key word in that was education. So it's really about enhancing that education piece across our community, locally, throughout the state, throughout the nation, and obviously through to our international guests. So it's about elevating that education around the whales that do visit our region during those specific times of the year, how critically important the Whitsundays is for our Eastern Australian humpback whales when they come to the Whitsundays. As Liv mentioned, that it is a critically important birthing location. So getting that information out there, and I guess my involvement with that, other than what Liv's already talked about or mentioned, is that enhancement of that education piece. So we've got all the Master Reef guides within the Whitsundays. There's around 27 of them throughout different high standard tourism operators. So bringing them together to help tell that story, getting into our community, gaining critically important connections with our traditional owners of the Whitsunday Isaac region to allow them to help them tell their stories and their connections of the beautiful whales, and bringing those connections to the community and enhancing that, lifting that up. So it's really about that connection piece for both myself and for Liv, and what we bring to the table to make that happen.
Amazing. So it says that you've been learning how to capture whale song through hydrophones. Does one of you want to talk a bit about how that's working and who's involved in that project?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were trying to tap into different ways to improve our understanding of whales. And as you know, there's ways we can record them by looking at them and recording sightings. And I'll let Crystal talk a little bit more about other citizen science programs later. But what one thing we thought we could tap into is listening to them and seeing what we can understand from listening to them. And we're really lucky here in Queensland. The University of Queensland has a long-term humpback whale monitoring program. They have got whale songs captured from a lot of different areas, and they're looking at how they can understand and interpret those songs a little bit better. They had no recordings really from the Whitsundays area, so we thought we better fill that gap. And we have run some training with the assistants from the University of Queensland to get more people to start to listen to the whales and keep the recordings. And we are now supplying those recordings to the University of Queensland's long-term monitoring program. So we've been out on the boats and it's quite magic. There's quite a lot of operators now that have invested in their own hydrophones. And not only can they record them, but they can also play the song live through their boat speakers. So we are getting quite a library of whale songs getting captured now. And it's really like it's really majestic. Not everybody can get underwater. Not everybody can scuba dive. Not everybody can hear them. It's really surreal and it's a really beautiful sound. It's, you know, quite eerie, the sound of a whale singing. So, we've kind of brought that to the region this year. I think it's only going to continue to build. And, yeah, it's something that I think hopefully means that the Whitsundays, the little Whitsundays, is now contributing to a much wider research program.
That's so great, especially, like, taking advantage of people who are already out on the water and like enhancing their experience both for visitors, but then also contributing to science. That's amazing. And then Crystal, do you want to talk about some of the other citizen science programs that you've been involved with?
Yeah, sure. Just to add on to what Olivia's mentioned as well about our tourism operators purchasing hydrophones and having them on their vessels. I mean, that's amazing achievement for us in the first instance. But the best thing about that, I feel, is that it's enhancing that guest experience and it's creating tourism to be a lot more accessible for those who may not be able to actually see a whale breach out of the water or you know, coming past in the distance and you see the whale blow or something like that. So for somebody who may be blind, they can not only hear the whale, but you can feel it through the vibration of the boat as well. So it's a really cool, immersive addition to those operators that have those hydrophones on board. But other citizen science programs, the leading citizen science program of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park is the Eye on the Reef program, citizen science program. So the Eye on the Reef citizen science program was created by the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority. And there's a lot of different levels or tiers within that program, but the very first one is what we call the Sightings app. So it's a free app that anyone can download and when they come into the marine park, and it's all about keeping an eye on the reef. So whatever you see when you're out there, you can take a photo of it, you can upload it directly into the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority's database, and it gives that real-time data of what's happening here and now on the reef, what they're seeing, if there's any animals that they haven't seen before in that particular location. So we know that we've got 5 different whale species and I think it's 4 different dolphin species within the Whitsundays, but who knows, there may be others that might be passing through that we just have not seen yet. So that's a really cool citizen science piece where anyone that's out on the water, above or below the water, can take a photo or pop in a GPS location and tell us a bit of information about what they're seeing at that point in time, and give us a bit of a description about it as well. So it may be an animal that we've seen plenty of times before and we know that it lives in the Whitsundays or passes through the Whitsunday region, but maybe we haven't seen that particular characteristic or whatever it may be doing at that point in time. So it's a really cool way to have as many eyes out in the water to tell us about what's happening day in and day out within the Whitsundays and within the rest of the Great Barrier Reef. So that's our main one, the Eye on the Reef program, the app that we really ask everybody to download. And that's probably our main source of information, definitely throughout our whale season, to know how many whales we have within the region, mothers, calves, if they're calving, what they've seen, where they've been located or spotted when they've been calving, if they have been calving, they've seen that happening, they've seen a newborn, they've seen a big pod of whales. So yeah, it really adds to our database and helps us tell the story and create stewards of the Whitsundays.
And when, and you're saying, because this is a citizen science project, is there any sort of built-in training for people, or if visitors to the region are using it, what sort of education is there for people who want to use it and maybe aren't as familiar with what they might be seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the free app to download, and you log in, you have your own little login, and then as you go through, it's a very simple app to use, and it's also got fun facts of everything as well. So if you go through and it may be a humpback whale that you see, and you could go through and you can click into the fun facts and can tell you some fun facts about the whale, so you can use that at the pub, you know, Fishy's fun facts for the evening or something like that. But it's got a really cool piece to it as well, where if you don't know what this particular animal may be or algae might be or whatever it is that you're looking at, and you know, wow, that's really cool and interesting, you can take a photo of it, upload that photo straight to the database, and that goes straight to the Eye on the Reef team at the Marine Park Authority, and they contact you directly and let you know what it was, give you information about it, and educate you a bit more about what that thing may have been that you saw on the reef, and it may have been the first time ever recorded that that particular animal may have been seen. So you could be part of history.
I wish this existed for every location I've ever gone scuba diving in. Not that I wouldn't have good enough pictures to really be able to do an ID, but it's such a great idea. And I love the direct back and forth communication with the Eye on the Reef team.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it also, so the levels up from that is it's all about monitoring. So we do surveys of the reef. So then we get really into monitoring and teaching the marine tourism industry, especially about how to monitor their patch on the reef and to create those site stewards, and then to obviously educate the guests that are coming as well. So they learn about, yeah, monitoring and the protection of the reef. But the Eye on the Reef app, awesome. It's for everyone.
Love it. Jumping back a little bit, actually, because I can't remember which of you mentioned, but you talked about the goal of having the area become a whale heritage site and getting that accreditation. Can we talk a little bit more about that and what that looks like, and what does that designation do? What would it mean to the area to get that accreditation?
Yeah, sure. So the World Cetacean Alliance's program basically means that we would be accredited at being at like a global high standard of protecting cetaceans, celebrating cetaceans, and that we have achieved, and it's not a tick box that we just achieve it and then we've just got it forever. It's an accreditation program where we've had to be approved as a candidate site firstly, and there's certain criteria that we've had to go through to be approved. And now we are going through and collating a lot of information, including a 3-year action plan on how we're going to protect and conserve our cetaceans and celebrate them over the next 3 years. And I see it more as a journey of ongoing improvement in how we are conserving and managing cetaceans. So we hopefully will have our accreditation very soon. We are logging our final piece of documentation in the next month or so, and hopefully we will see that approved. But it basically, it doesn't mean anything as far as it's not a designation through the, you know, World Heritage through the United Nations, or it's not a zoning in that sense. But it does mean that we are collaborating and meeting that gold standard with the World Cetacean Alliance. And we are lucky here that the Whitsundays has already been recognised as important whale area, and it is already a designated whale protection zone. So we have aligned with the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority's original whale protection zone boundary for our heritage site application. And if we achieve this application, we will be the first whale heritage site in a World Heritage listed Great Barrier Reef Marine Park area. So it's pretty exciting. First one in the Great Barrier Reef, first one in a World Heritage area. So it's going to be really exciting.
Oh, well, we will keep our fingers crossed for you. It sounds like a tremendous amount of very important work.
Yeah, amazing. And this one, I guess, also then stepping further back in time, maybe from this, maybe we should have started with this part, but I think is interesting, especially for us here, because we're starting to have more whale protection zones off our coast, or similar things maybe to a world whale protection zones. So could you talk a little bit about how the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park also became a whale protection zone?
Yeah, sure. So between, we'd known that we'd seen a lot of whales for a long time, but we didn't know obviously too much about it. And the only way you learn more is through science and research. So from 2006 to 2009, there was many different types of research that was done, whether it was counting or monitoring on our whales. And by the end of 2009, there was many research papers that were produced, and it was pretty well set in stone that the Whitsundays was a critically important birthing location for our migrating humpback whales. If not, it was and it is now the most important spot throughout the whole east coast of Australia, where the whales will come, that East Australian humpback whales will come and give birth to their young. So from 2009, that's when the whale protection area was put into our Whitsunday plan of management to elevate that protection of the whales. So within the entire Great Barrier Reef Marine Park, there is rules and regulations around interactions with our whales, but within the Whitsundays, within that designated whale protection area, once that got put in, an elevated rules and regulations were put in to enhance that protection, not just of the whales, but also of the people as well that are out on the water and all the users of the park. So we wanted to ensure that we can protect both sides, where we want to protect our beautiful whales, but we also want to ensure that we've got safety of all the users of the park as well. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. I feel like I'm just trying so hard to think about when I can come. So every piece of information that you're giving me is filed. I feel like it's being filed into my cetacean-loving research brain. Like, oh, wow, what implications can we have about that when we're talking about interim sanctuary zones for southern resident killer whales and all of that? And then there's also this other really competing part of my brain that's like, how can I get back to Australia? And when can that happen?
Indeed.
So I think you should probably come next June or August. We've got a couple of really cool whale-related events, and one in June, our cultural Welcome Whale event.
That was going to be my next question.
And one in August. So you should definitely come for one of those events. Yeah. And then you can come out and see our whales while you're here.
Yeah. Our peak time.
Do you know anyone who wants to watch a 2-year-old on a 20-hour flight? Because if so, contact me. I'll sign you up, and then they can watch my kid while I sit back and enjoy the flight over, and then I'm there.
Yeah. We've all been there. I've been there. Yeah. You'll be right. You will survive it. You know what? You get anxious about those things, but when they actually happen, quite often, it's better than you expect.
That's a yeah. very good point and a good outlook to
you
have
could
on
do
life.
It given the right motivation. Yeah, do you want to tell us a bit about what these upcoming events are? Because it sounds really awesome.
Absolutely. I'll tell you about the Welcome Whale event, which is the one which kicks off our whale season. So this is a cultural event. We had the first ever Welcome Whale event in June this year, and it was really focused on bringing the cultural, our traditional owners and the cultural stories around the whales and their connection to our whales out, and really sharing that with our community. We have got a couple of very passionate traditional owners on our WOW steering committee. And they were very keen to participate in an event which helped to send the message to the community that the whales are here. You know, the whales are here and they're really important. And they told some beautiful stories at the event about how in their culture they really believe that it's their duty to really watch over the whales. And so they used to go up into the hills and they used to look out at the sea and really watch the whales. So obviously they're interested now in how we can watch the whales, how we can monitor them. There's different access now, right? So we've got more, better ability to do these things. So they want to know how we can do that and also what we're going to do if there is a problem. So they're quite strong on that, our traditional owners. And the Welcome Whale event was, we held it down at the foreshore here in Ellie Beach where we have a big screen, like a big outdoor cinema screen. So we had really beautiful videography with the whale songs. We had lights up in all the trees, so it felt really magical. We had over 700 people from the community come down on the night. Oh. We had a smoking ceremony. So our traditional owners have a cleansing smoking ceremony to welcome people and, you know, pay respects to the traditional owners, past, present, and emerging. And they also played some traditional instruments. They did traditional dancing, and they obviously told their beautiful stories about the whales as well. And I'm sure Crystal will agree, the night was actually quite magical, and it really did build everyone's connection, not only with the whales, but with the traditional owners. It was kind of a pivotal night for our community because we don't often see that many different cultural experiences, and the whole night being focused on the whales and the cultural aspect rather than it just being one component of a bigger event. It was really special, and the traditional owners were actually quite emotional after the event, being able to share that. And so hopefully that'll be an annual event for a long time now, and we'll just keep growing it to be bigger and better and more exciting. So it's the middle of June every year on the Whit Sundays. So come on down. And in August, we also have the Great Barrier Reef Festival, which I might let Crystal talk about the Great Barrier Reef Festival, actually, because that's probably one of our biggest festivals of the year in Airlie Beach. And it's got all kinds of different things, but Crystal's really heavily involved in that. So I'll let her tell you more about it.
Thanks, Liv. Yeah, so the Great Barrier Reef Festival, Liv's right, it is one of our largest festivals of the year in the Whit Sundays. And as the name suggests, it's about celebrating the Great Barrier Reef and all the amazing aspects of the Great Barrier Reef. So each year, it's a four-day event, and each year it gets better and better and bigger and bigger. And it's all about bringing the Great Barrier Reef to the people. So whether it's we have specialised experiences where we take guests out to the Great Barrier Reef and we immerse them into the wonders of the Great Barrier Reef, or we bring the Great Barrier Reef to the people on the main shore of Airlie Beach. And we have many different activities throughout those 4 days. One of those being an immersive art experience where we've got local artists that use marine debris and they turn the marine debris into this beautiful immersive artwork display of underwater sculptures. And they've got a life-size whale, humpback mother whale, and a life-size calf, which is beautiful, along with an array of other marine life, along with our Great Eight, which is our 8 iconic animals of the Great Barrier Reef, similar to what Africa do with their Big Five. We've got the Great Eight, and whales are one of our Great Eight. Yeah, so the Great Barrier Reef Festival this year, every year we have a theme for the festival, and this year we wanted to champion obviously our whales. So this year was all about the whales. We did a hydrophone training day prior to, obviously our immersive cultural Welcome Whales event was prior to, and it was all leading up to the Great Barrier Reef Festival. And that was really the big event of the year to showcase, educate everybody, all the community, about our whales. So on the very last day, it does full circle and we go back to our younger generation, and we're teaching the children of the future about protection and monitoring and how to love and respect our marine life and, of course, our whales. So on the last day is our family fun day, and that was a really special day to, yeah, bring it all together and take it home with teaching our kids of the future about how to love our beautiful marine life.
Oh. Well, you've convinced us. We want to come.
Yay!
Logistical challenges, but yes. Someday.
So you've clearly convinced us and our listeners that the work going on in the Whit Sundays area is really important, really engaging. I want to be there. And I'm a little envious, obviously, of the opportunity that the two of you have had to create these connections. And one of the things that I love hearing, if you are comfortable sharing, is what inspired you to get into this work? How did you get to be at the point in your lives where you are creating these, especially what I found really fascinating, these really beautiful connections, not just to the whales and the scientific elements of the Great Barrier Reef, but the cultural elements as well. So how did you find yourselves here?
I can go first, and then maybe I'll pass to Crystal to add in hers. So for me, obviously I started off doing marine biology at university, but my career has taken me in a funny path where I now work on climate change risk, which is not as much fun as playing in the ocean, but it's very important, right? Because climate change is the number one threat to the Great Barrier Reef. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've gone down the path where I am going to make the most impact, but my passion is the reef. So for me, this is my passion project. And as the chair of the local marine advisory committee, I'm also on the management committee for the Whitsunday Conservation Council. The whale project was something that was right place, right time. We need to do this. We have a huge amount of people interested. We have a huge amount of whales, like so many whales. We have so many boats out there. We have the amazing Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, which were very supportive of us and encouraging us to do a local community-driven whale project and to try and get that heritage site status so that they could then understand what it, how it worked. You know, they come to our steering committee meetings as well. They're very supportive and they would love to see more areas follow that path. Maybe not for whales, maybe for other things that are most important for those regions. But the model that we're following and the, you know, just to be able to get 700 people to an environmental, really an environmentally focused event on the first time, like it was really magic. So I think for me, it's just keeping in touch with what I love and brings everything together, because at the end of the day, if we want to make change, people have to love something to care about something. And that's the only way anyone's going to make the real big changes that we need to see in the world to end up protecting the reef. So yeah, that's how I've ended up working on this project. And I mean, it's a really fun project, to be honest. We love it. I love it. What about you, Crystal?
So I grew up in a tiny little country town in the middle of Queensland called Meringandan. No one can even say it. It's hardly on any maps. I knew nothing about anything to do with underneath the surface of the water. And it wasn't until I actually did a cruise ship with my parents when I was 14 years old and we came up to the beautiful Whitsundays. We went out on a tourism operator and I went scuba diving for the first time and I was hooked. I just could not believe that there was things living underneath the water. It just blew my mind and I was absolutely hooked. So I went back, I finished school and I came straight up to Airlie Beach and started as a scuba diving, my scuba diving career. So I worked as a dive trainee, working for free, trying to get my tickets and to become a dive instructor, became a dive instructor, was underwater photographer. And through that, I got very heavily involved in our citizen science programs, the Eye on the Reef program through the Marine Park Authority, monitoring the protection of the reef, and started volunteering on a lot of expeditions that our marine parks were heading out on to survey outer edges of the reef that no one else gets to go to. So I was doing that a lot. And traveling, lots of different traveling, but it was always to do with marine life. So whether it was Thailand or other areas of Australia, but it was always coming back to the Whitsundays. And over time, as I started to get a little bit older, I had my own family and I knew I couldn't head out to the Great Barrier Reef every single day of my life anymore. And I needed to figure out how was I going to continue my passion and my love for what I did, but in a way that was also going to be something that my kids were going to look at in the future and go, hey, Mum, you did a pretty good job there. And Yeah, so I just wanted to figure out a way of continuing to do what I love to do, but also by educating the next generation on the importance and the love of the Great Barrier Reef. So that's how I started, or where I came into having my own business, the consulting business, which was all about that enhancement of the educational experiences for anyone who came to the reef. And that's how Olivia and I kind of first met as well, through the local marine advisory committee, and we started talking about whales and our love for whales, and here we are today.
Perfect. Talking to two other people who love whales. It's perfect.
Yay.
Before we continue with the rest of the episode, we just want to take a moment to tell you about how you can support our podcast and everything we do at Whale Tales.
You can join us by becoming a patron at patreon.com/whaletales. You can join for $1 a month at the porpoise level, $5 a month at the dolphin level, or $10 a month at the whale level.
And each level comes with a variety of perks, including polls, thank you postcards, access to extended interviews and stories with guests, and you can even produce your own fun flipper fact segment of the pod. Plus, we have a new perk for our dolphin and whale level patrons, which is Journal Club, where every couple of months we will have an extra podcast coming to your ears where we dive into a new journal article, hopefully a free access one, and share some cutting edge science with our patrons. Our whale level patrons also get access to another special Patreon only podcast. So many, we just love podcasting. And that whale level patron podcast is Whale Tales Watches, where we watch, or in our latest episode, also read some sort of fictional thing about marine biology tangentially, and then we talk about what they got right and what they got wrong. And in our latest episode, we watched and read, one of them's better than the other, you'll have to listen to find out, The Ring of Endless Light by Madeline L'Engle.
And then Sarah just put a bunch more movies on the list, so it's going to be a super exciting 2024 full of whale and marine science-ish.
Mm-hmm. Emphasis on the ish.
So join us over there to hear all about it. But we do want to thank all of our patrons. You are so amazing. Thank you for supporting us.
And if you aren't able to support us financially, there's still lots of things that you can do to help us out and everything we do at Whale Tales. You can always leave us a rating or a review on your podcast platform of choice, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This will help other people find us. And you can also just tell all your sciencey, cetacean, podcast-loving friends all about the podcast so that they can listen too.
You can also follow us on social media at whaletales_org and send us your feedback so that we can keep making the podcast even better. Speaking of loving whales, one of my favorite parts of our podcast is when we share a fun flipper fact. So hopefully not putting you both on the spot too much, I'm going to make up a song. This is something I do in every episode, is I create a song for our fun flipper fact segment. And then I'm going to ask you both to share one of, can be any of, your very favorite facts about cetaceans. Ideally one of the different types of cetaceans that comes to the Whitsundays, but if you just have another random whale fact that is your go-to fun fact, that's okay. All right, what is today's song? It's time for fun flipper facts, fun flipper facts. It's time for a fun flipper fact from Australia.
Okay, that was great.
Oh, that was awesome.
Crystal. Oh, no, Olivia. Who wants to go first?
I can go first. All right. So I've thought about a fun flipper fact about humpback whale reproduction, because we are a key calving area, as we said. So I think it's pretty cool that whales are pregnant. So their gestation period, if we want to be scientifically correct, is 12 months. Which is a really long time. I mean, we complain about 9 months. Theirs is 12 months. Their babies are massive. And they can reproduce every 2 years. So it's pretty amazing. And they don't mate for life either. Did you know that? No, they don't. And I'll let Crystal keep adding to that.
All right, some fun facts. So our humpback whales, they don't actually go through menopause, our female humpback whales. So they can have babies up until they pass away, which And a whale, a humpback whale, can live for up to 80 to 90 years. So that's quite a long time. You'd be great, 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 great grandmother, and also having your own baby at the same time. They mate face to face, which is quite romantic. And the mother's milk is the consistency of toothpaste, and they can produce up to around 600 liters of milk a day.
Wow.
There you go.
Many.
A couple of fun
that
facts.
Was fantastic.
So many.
Thank you both so much.
Do you finish it with the song as well?
No, because then she'd have to remember the song. No, there's just a just an intro song.
Love it.
So we obviously started as a place for people to share their cetacean stories. And so we were hoping that one of you might have a cetacean encounter that you would be willing to share with our lovely listeners.
Something really cool, I did just think about this. So one event that we also did do this year, which we'll continue to do each year, is a pre-whale season community event where we invite the Great Barrier Marine Park Authority to come and present to the Whitsundays community and the tourism industry about the Eye on the Reef program, about the Eye on the Reef Sightings app, how to download it, how to use it, the importance of it, and to just talk about and to bring back to life the importance of the rules and regulations within the wild protection area. When we did that event this year, after the event, when we finished, there was a gentleman that came up to me and we had a really cool conversation around one of his experiences, and he didn't quite know what was going on in this experience, and now he knows what was happening. So I'll tell you the story, and I wonder if you can identify what may have been happening.
Ooh, guessing
so
game story.
A fisherman. Oh, it's a guessing game. Are you ready? So he was a fisherman, or he is still a fisherman, and he was out on the reef this one particular night. It was a glass out, which means it was just perfect weather, not a ripple on the surface. And it was the middle of the night, and you could hear a pin drop. And he was inside the cabin of the boat, and he decided to walk out onto the stern of the vessel, out to the back of the vessel. And he was there just looking out, looking at the beautiful moon and the stars, and it, you know, looking gorgeous on the water, the reflection of the water. And he really faintly heard like this breath of air, and he felt like something was watching him. And he turned around, and less than a meter off the other side of the boat was two humpback whales that had come up to the surface, up to their petrel fin, looking at him in his eyes. And then just went straight back down without a ripple at all, back under the water, and off they went. What do you think they were doing? They were looking at each other. Two whales coming up to the surface.
Were they maybe having an amorous encounter?
Were they mating?
They mate face to face. So they were most
And they come above the water?
Mating, yeah.
Wow.
Really cool. And so one of these... One characteristic of the humpback whales is they do something which is called a spy hop. So they'll bring their head out of the water and they'll have a look around and see what's going on, and then their head will go back onto the surface of the water. So they may have been mating and they may have been checking him out at the same time. How cool is that? What an unreal
wow.
experience.
And like so close, and in the middle of the night when there's nobody else
in the
around.
Middle of
wow.
the night. He was freaking out and thinking it was the best thing ever all at the same time. And he couldn't wait to tell us this story. And when he was telling us, we were like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So it was very cool.
That's very, very cool.
It was very cool.
Oh my gosh. That's my favorite part about hearing people's stories, is just that reaction of like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness.
But also a little bit terrified. A little bit. Yeah.
Well, Olivia and Crystal, it has been such a joy having the opportunity to speak to both of you. Before we let you go, was there anything else that you wanted our listeners to know about the Whitsundays area, about the whales of the Great Barrier Reef, and about the work that you do?
I think we've covered most of it.
Yeah, I think the most important thing would be just to let everybody know that there is a lot of available information. So if you are coming into our region and you want to understand more about our whales or understand more about the regulations behind viewing our whales, or you want to understand more about the Great Barrier Reef in general, there is loads of information. So there's information about the Whales of the Whitsundays program online. There's information on our tourism operators' separate sites, Tourism Whitsundays sites, which is our main marketing body. There's also information on the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority's website. So there's heaps of resources out there if anybody wants to learn anything more. And I suppose the biggest message that we would have, or that I would have, would be that if you do love the reef and you do want to visit the reef, then everybody all around the world needs to do their bit to try and protect the reef by living lightly and trying to live cleaner lifestyles so that we're not all contributing as much to climate change.
Thank you.
Well said. Absolutely.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, thank you so much for your time and for all the work that you do and the energy that you put into sharing stories and encouraging other people to share their stories. It was just so delightful to talk to you from around the world. Oh, actually, the other question I had was, so your main whale season, then you have your welcome whales, was in June, and then the festival's in August. And then when does your sort of main humpback season run until?
So this year, the first whale turned up on the 29th of May, but they don't tell us. Sometimes they come a bit earlier. Yeah. Sometimes they come a bit later. And then I think the last recording might have been in October, Crystal. I'm not sure of the dates, but in around October. May wasn't necessarily early. They do come in May, but definitely June till October is the May to October around then. But if you definitely wanted to see them and you came in June, July, August, September, you're pretty much guaranteed that you'll see some whales. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay, great. Thank you.
I think that wraps up our episode. So we would love to hear your thoughts on this or any episode of the podcast. You can do that by visiting our website at whale-tales.org and find links to all of our social media handles so that you can drop us a line.
You can also head to our website to subscribe to this podcast, learn about supporting us and becoming a patron, and check out over 1,300 whale, dolphin, and porpoise stories.
That's whale-tales.org. Tales like the stories, not tales like the animal.
And if you've seen a cetacean, we would love to add your story to our library. You can click the share link on the website, contact us on social media at whaletales_org, or email us a voice memo and tell us all about your incredible cetacean encounter.
Finally, we want to acknowledge that we recorded today's episode on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples and the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations, as well as the homelands of the Tsawwassen First Nation.
Thanks, everybody, so much, and we hope you have a whaley great day.